B-Pod Studios.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
And here it is, friends, another episode of the non-award-winning Talkin' Rock podcast. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. Over the weekend at the radio station I work at, WRIF, we had our annual Riff Fest concert. Two stages, all sorts of bands. The stage out in the parking lot was headlined by the girls from Plush. They did an awesome job. Eve Under Fire was out there, In Virtue, a lot of great bands. On the main stage, the Violent started us up, followed by Dorothy, then Dirty Honey, In This Moment, and Disturbed. So I talked with Dorothy. That's coming up here for you in just a few minutes. But first, we'll start with Dan Donegan from Disturbed. I was told I was going to talk to Dan earlier in the week, and I was thinking to myself, okay, you know, they've released this single, but there hasn't really been much talk about what's going on with the Disturbed guys. And then all of a sudden, bam, it's like everything just came out of nowhere. The record, Divisive, comes out on November 18th. Even the song list was on there, and their work with Ann Wilson on one of the songs, too, of course, from the legendary band Heart. So we talk about all that and more. I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up. Both these interviews with Dan as well as Dorothy are on video, and I'll leave the link in the description if you want to watch them. And then, of course, the final interview with Thunder Mother, I'll get to that coming up here in just a bit. That is also up on the video, too. You can watch that as well. I'll put that in the description, too. So, but anyways, with Dan, the sound is a little bit funky. You make out. I mean, it's easy to listen to. I'm just apologizing ahead of time in case you're like, wait a second. This doesn't sound like it normally does. But Dan was great to talk with. Just such a cool guy and just a great band. Awesome stuff. It's Dan Donegan starting us off today on Talkin' Rock.
Hey, backstage here at Riff Fest once again with Dan from Disturbed. Good to see you again.
You too, bro.
A lot of things happening in your camp, isn't it?
Quite a bit.
Yeah. How does it feel to be putting out a record 4 years after the last one?
Great. I mean, it's inspiring. You know, we hit the studio earlier this year and just excited about the material. Can't wait to get out, get the album out so everyone can hear it and start playing it.
Now, do you guys go into the studio with nothing or do you guys come in kind of prepared?
A little bit of both. I mean, I'll have some stuff in the vault and some rough ideas, rough demos, but a lot of the magic really happens when we're together.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of this material was like in the moment, you know, and improvising and just kind of coming together, and it came really quick. I think after having a couple years off during COVID and that, and just being fired up and ready to go again, it was nice to get back in the room together.
Now, I was thinking about this on the way here. It's like you guys normally kind of put out a record like every 4 or 5 years or so, but since the last record you guys put out, the world's kind of gone upside down.
Yeah.
So a lot of this record, I mean, it's obviously, just from reading the titles, I'm assuming has been influenced by what's been going on.
Absolutely. I mean, every album for us is influenced by what's going on in our lives, and obviously with COVID and just the touring world and, you know, just the world in general, there's always something to talk about. There's always something that's weighing on us all, and, you know, we need our therapy through our music, and I think the rest of the world does too, so hopefully there's enough subject matter on there for the fans to connect with.
Yeah, therapeutic for sure. There's a lot of bands, a lot of artists I've talked to in the past where it's like they need to get their release out, and that's how they do it.
Absolutely. I can't think of any other better way. I mean, for us, personally speaking, it's just been, you know, a way of life for us. It's our outlet to get that therapy.
So I mean, when you're locked down, what are you doing then? I mean, it
was tough. I mean, we were, obviously when right before COVID hit, we had plans in 2020 to do the 20th anniversary tour for The Sickness. And, you know, so to hit the brakes and then not know what the hell's going on in the world. And, you know, at first we're like, okay, I guess we're not doing that tour this summer. And then obviously as it progressed into the following year and everything else, then, you know, just like everybody else, we were going a little stir crazy and that. So it took a while. It took a while. You know, we got into a little bit of a funk, you know, because, you know, mentally you're not prepared for that. You know, nobody.
Yeah, like everybody.
Nobody,
right.
Yeah, everybody kind of had to deal with it in their own ways. Some people found a way to work through it, and others, you know, unfortunately, you know, the entertainment world was really suffered by it because none of our crew, you know, bands, nobody could do anything. But, you know, like I said, once we got that opportunity to get back together and get in that room and get the creativity going again, it just, you know, we got that excitement back in us and that, you know, that drive to get back out here now that the world's opening back up again.
So I guess now in 3 years you got to do the debut album, 25th anniversary, right?
Right, I guess so. I mean, it's unfortunate we had to hold off on the 20th, but yeah, we're only a couple of years away from the 25th, so yeah. 2.5 years away.
Is that 2.5? Yeah. So on this record, you got Ann Wilson from Heart, and I was thinking about this, and then I saw that this is the first time you guys ever had a guest.
Yeah.
So like, maybe we shouldn't do this, or how'd that come about?
Well, I think, you know, early in our career, we never really, you know, we wanted to really establish ourselves without having a guest. We didn't really talk about it much, but we just assumed this is the band. Not that we were ever against it, but this far along in our career, you know, we're always pushing ourselves, trying to do stuff different musically, and there's so much talent out there, and so many people we would love to do collaborations with now, or later in our career. And we found out, you know, Ann Wilson had mentioned before, like she tweeted about us before a few years back when somebody asked her in an interview or whatever if there's anything new out there or newer musically that she's heard that she's a fan of. And she mentioned she really loved our version of The Sound of Silence. And that kind of opened the door to, social media, a friendship between her and David a bit. And then when we wrote this song, you know, it just seemed like it lent itself to Ann's voice, and to try to see that merge between her and David's voices together. I mean, and she jumped on the opportunity. Immediately she responded, we're like, holy shit, she just said yes to this. We got to, you know, so.
I can't wait to hear
exciting.
It. It can't be like a heavier track, right? It's a little bit mellow?
I can't give it away.
All right.
But I mean, look.
I want you to hum a few bars.
I mean, their voices, I mean, it's like Fergie and Jesus, you know. A little stepbrothers quote there.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, I could hear the Blabbermouth headlines already.
Yeah, it's like Fergie and Jesus. Yeah. But it was, it was a pretty magical moment to be in the room and to hear the two of them harmonize together and just do it. And she's such a
legend. They did it in the same room then.
Well, we tracked David's vocals in Nashville.
Okay.
And we want to make it easy and convenient for her, because we're like, she said, yes, she's going to do it. Let's, you know, make it as easy as possible on her. We flew out to California to meet with her and went into the studio out there for just a couple hours. And she sang, against David's tracks. And he was there kind of going over the harmonies with her and stuff, too. So it was kind of a really magical moment to see the two of them, you know, working on out those harmonies together, and it was pretty impressive. She's such a pro, and she's so damn good.
Yeah.
You know, she's a legend, you know, and so it was pretty exciting. And it's not like she sits there and jumps on other people's albums either, so we take that as a badge of honor to think that, you know, there's not many times where somebody as big a legend as she is that she would jump on any album. She doesn't have to, and she chose to be on this one, and she loved the track, and it just came together great.
I just think back to when she did that thing at the, I don't know, whatever they call it, and she did the
Lizzo. The Kennedy Center.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
It's pretty incredible.
I must have watched that over 100 times. I mean, I still get chills watching that. And even towards the end when the whole gospel in the background comes in, it's like, what a powerful moment. You
know? So Divisive comes out on November 18th. You just mentioned The Sound of Silence. There's not a cover on this record, is there? And it's kind of a little bit unusual, too.
We don't really strategize when to do it. It just depends if we...
Have you had a record without it?
We have. We didn't do one on the Believe album.
Okay, all right.
We didn't do one on. I can't even think now. There's a lot of.
Yeah.
But I think there's been a couple we didn't do.
But some of your covers have just become legendary too.
We like the challenge of putting our stamp on it and trying to, you know, pay respect to the original version and stay true to that, but doing our interpretation of it. You know, and the challenge of it, it's. It's not just covering the song, it's making it our own,
right,
the best we can, you know. So I always like that challenge. So it's, for me personally, when we pick a song, I probably overanalyze it a lot, but I like try to dissect it by, first of all, what is the lyrical message in it? You know, do we connect with it? Is it something that we want to say? And then musically, can we twist it enough to put our stamp on it and make it sound like Disturbed, you know? So that, I love that challenge, and it's time consuming. You know, it's not as, doing a cover song is easy to just go up and play other people's parts. But to make it our own, you know, is the real challenge of, having to put our stamp.
I remember watching you guys do The Sound of Silence here, and it was, you know, whatever it was, It was a while ago now. Because we
I think it would make you break in Benjamin. We were all with that on that tour. Yeah.
It was incredible. Hey, final thing here for you, because Aaron's going to cut me off in a second. But you just mentioned social media and stuff like that. And I follow you on the Instagram and stuff. And you kind of put out some personal stuff out there with your family and stuff. Tell me about your thoughts on the whole social media thing.
Well, I mean, everyone's different. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse at times.
Didn't you just send one off to college or something?
Yeah, I was just there. My daughter's at University of Kentucky. I was just there this morning.
Really?
I went there last night. We had a day off, and it was family weekend down there. So I flew out. I was there less than 24 hours, and I was back on a plane to come out here and do this. And, it's just, that's our lives. We take the opportunities when we can. And do it, we're family men. We have kids, and we live a rock and roll lifestyle. Yeah. So it's like that.
It's the yin and the yang.
Yeah, totally. So, my kids grew up, their whole lives they were on the road quite a bit with me in the beginning when they were babies. They were out here all the time. They've been to all these venues, but yeah, now I can't believe she's in college now. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, social media, it can be pretty evil at times, as we all know, and turn a lot of friends against each other too. Not just the haters out there. And I don't. Whatever,
and David took a break, and now he's back in full force.
Yeah, I know. I know we got to reel him in every now and then. I know we joke about it, but I know you're always going to get haters out there too. I find it kind of comical, and I'll read into some of them. I'm not like obsessed with it, but. I like to read it some of them because some of the haters get pretty creative with their insults.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty funny.
So. Got to give them props for that once in a while. So. All right, Aaron's giving me the white flag. She's done. But Dan, thanks so much, man. Divisive comes out on November 18th. And before you leave, you got to take a picture with my daughter since I brought her along.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, brother. Thanks.
Yeah, you too, brother.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Up next, it's Dorothy with a little bit better sound. Without getting too much inside baseball, we had the microphones hooked up, and it's a long story. We were running around all over the place at our Riff Fest in the big venue that is Pine Knob over the weekend, so sometimes some things get kind of lost in the shuffle. But anyway, it's always great to catch up with Dorothy as we talked about the record, talked about some of the inspiration behind the album, talked about hanging out with Axl Rose, and more today on Talkin' Rock. Backstage here, Riff Fest 2022 with Dorothy and Sam from Dorothy. Good to see you here in Michigan. It's been a long time.
It's been way too long.
Yeah, you were supposed to be here earlier this year, right? And then something happened. I can't remember what happened.
I don't remember either.
But we're here now.
That's all that matters.
That's right. Gifts from the Holy Ghost is out. And you're just saying how proud you are of this record. I mean, this record is just stellar. The single, Rest in Peace, awesome. And, of course, shot to number one.
Yeah, I got a text from Scott Stevens who wrote Rest in Peace. I can't take any writing credit on that one. Although I do love writing and I'm usually heavily involved in that. He's like, I have this song for you, and I listened to it, and I'm like, yeah, it's like you took the words right out of my mouth. Well, he sent me a screenshot that it did land at number one on Billboard for a moment, which was really nice.
So what does this guy have to do with the record?
Everything.
Everything, huh?
This is Sam Colton. He's my guitar player. He tours with me. He played played guitar on the record. It was produced by Chris Lord-Alge, but we did record in Brooklyn for a short period, and he's... You can hear him on May to Die. I mean, he's just, which is a song I wrote with Keith Wallen of Breaking Benjamin, but Sam just brought it to life. He's such an energetic and talented guitarist.
What is it like recording with Dorothy?
It's a lot of fun. Working with her in general is a lot of fun because, she's an amazing singer.
Except when I'm mad.
No, even when you're mad.
We're both Aries.
We are. Our birthdays are a couple days
apart. And I'm not calm at all.
No, it's really, really fun. And especially live, the stuff comes to life, and there's a lot of extended guitar solos and a lot of extended spots that she lets me just play whatever. And so just working with her in general is really, really fun. But in the studio was a great time because that was really my first experience with you was in the studio.
You know, with this record, do you feel this takes you to the next level?
For sure, it's definitely like, you know, it's more what I wanted to do. And it took time as an artist to kind of find that and know what that was, because as a young artist who's never made a record or toured, you have a lot of people telling you what you should be and how you should sound and how you should even look and dress. And, you know, I went through that and I always felt, I don't know, suffocated. So I was like, you know, screw all this. I'm making a record. It's 2020. Everyone's locked down. I'm going to Brooklyn. I'm going to make the record, because when we're through this, people are going to come back to concerts. They're going to want music. And I wanted to inspire them, uplift them, give them good, uplifting, fun rock and roll music. And it just so happens that some of the lyrics are pretty inspiring. And I've had fans come up and say, hey, like, I wanted to take my life. And then I heard A Beautiful Life, which I wrote with Jason Hook.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And so, I mean, I, like, mess up my makeup all the time crying. So I'm really proud of it.
And you've had some pretty big life changes yourself in the last few years. So, and this record reflects that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've lived a couple lifetimes. Got sober. I've relapsed many times. Been to rehab twice. Sober now. And touring, you know, for the last, what, 7 years. We Sam was not here for this. We had a tech overdose and die on our bus. I told you that interview.
That was an amazing story.
That was one of my, that's my favorite interview I've ever done with anyone.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was great, because you're, yeah, that interview, you're like, I don't know if I should tell you the story. I'm just going to tell you the story. And it was a crazy story.
Well, the crazy part about it was, and I'm not here to be religious or preachy to anybody. I made a rock record, but this is my personal life. And so the record is influenced by it. You know, I was struggling with my recovery, and I was just praying, like, God, if you can hear me, if you're real, I need you to reveal yourself. And the next day, he died, and he was gone for a minute, you know. So my sound guy, Scott, and at the time, my manager, Carrie, we were like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, we got to pray for him. And it took the paramedics a minute to get to us, because we're on the, I know I've told you this story before,
but you're fine.
We're on the side of the highway in the middle of a tour, and I guess he had picked up heroin in Philadelphia at a venue or something. And I could always sense something was off, because his pupils were really small, and I just knew something was going on. But I never saw him take a drink. I never saw him do anything, right? Well, wake me up in the middle of the night, and he's dead on the floor in the bus. And so, I don't know, we held hands, prayed for him, and the paramedics revived him after quite a while. But I know what I saw, and I know what I felt, and I feel like that experience, somehow the energy of that experience made its way into this record, and I want people to feel like, yeah, they have a purpose, you know, they're here for a reason, and life could be really beautiful, and just, I know it's up and down, but...
And that's what music does, too. It helps people, uplifts people, it gives them a certain feeling.
Yeah.
So... And I think last time I talked to you, you hadn't seen that guitar player since then, or since
Guitar
tour, right?
Tech. No, guitar I did. Tech, yeah. I did run into him at Lollapalooza, and he was alive. No idea what he's up to, but you know, I was like, you got a second chance. You should not take that for granted.
Yeah. So the record came out, of course, earlier. So are you? Do you have anything? Are you writing anything right now?
I want Scott Stevens to produce the next record.
Yeah.
And I want to go to Nashville. Sam, you're coming with me. Nick, you're coming with me. My boyfriend's back there. Paramedic, thank you. And so what I want to do is go to Nashville and write with Scott Stevens and the Four Horsemen and kind of just have a writing camp, see what we come up with. And obviously Scott is just one of the most talented songwriters I've ever met.
I know a guy that lives in Nashville, and I played him Rest in Peace when it first came out, and he loved it. Maybe you could write with him.
Who was that?
Kid Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that conversation we had with
Yeah. right on. No big deal.
Yeah. So, no, he loved it. And, you know, he's an honest guy. Like, if he doesn't like
something,
he'll
tell me. I thought he was Detroit, but he lives in Nashville.
He's got his place in Nashville. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, it's like, are you storing up, like, lyrics or ideas right now?
No. When it's writing time, it's writing time. When it's tour, it's tour.
So you're going with a blank slate.
But, you know, but sometimes, like, we did a sound check. Sam wasn't there for this one, but in the 28 Days in the Valley album cycle, we did a sound check, And Eli Wolfmeyer, my guitar player and friend, wrote the riff for the song Gifts from the Holy Ghost. Mm. It started off as Spokane Fire, and we were on tour with Greta Van Fleet. I think this was 2018 or 2019. So that's when the song Gifts from the Holy Ghost was born, which was actually the first song written for the album. And then I didn't get the lyrics and the title until the very end. So it kind of came full circle.
And it's great how the record ends like that, too.
Yeah, it's like a nice wrap-up.
Yeah. So you're on tour right now with the Dirty Honey guys, right?
Yeah, California Dreamin' Tour. We have a week and a half left.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. I just played hockey with Mark yesterday. He's a pretty good hockey player. He's actually a really good hockey player.
Yeah, I heard he likes hockey.
Yeah. So you can ask him about that if you want to.
Hey,
real fast. I think he told me this story. Tell me about meeting Axl Rose.
Oh, well, you know, I kind of hung out with the Guns N' Roses guys for about a year. You know,
for
he's
a year?
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you only met him once.
No, I met him a couple times.
Okay.
He's very diligent with his vocal warm-ups, mm-hmm. which I respect. And I made him a margarita, which was good. He's funny. He's a very intelligent man. Very cool guy.
I interviewed him back in, I want to say, 2004 or something like that. And I thought he was great. You know.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I've been around him. I never met him, but he seems like he's really cool. Did they have a big influence on your life growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on that. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah. I love Welcome to the Jungle so much.
I can remember the first time I heard that on the radio, and I'm like, what is this?
It's so animalistic and raw.
Yeah. Well, Dorothy, great to see you here in Michigan. It's been way too long. And Sam, thanks. I know I'm kind of just, you know.
Sam.
But it's really great to see you. Congratulations on the record. I mean, it's just so
Thank
good.
You.
And I was really pulling for you, and I put it on the turntable. I'm like, this is awesome. So.
And we just dropped Black Sheep.
Yeah.
The video comes out soon.
I heard that in the riff just yesterday, as a matter of fact. So, yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We go from Dorothy to Granica Mancini from the band Thunder Mother. And this is a really cool interview I did last week with Granica. That's actually on video as well. You can watch that. Just check out the description in the show. But I decided to throw the audio up here because this is a cool band out on tour right now with the Scorpions. And when we first started the conversation, I wasn't sure how long they were going to be touring with the Scorpions, but apparently it's a long time.
Yeah, it's a... Well, it ends the 21st of October, I think. Yeah, So we have a few more weeks left.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is badass. I saw the video of you guys on this tour. It's unbelievable. I saw when you first met the band and stuff. How exciting was that?
It was incredibly excited. I mean, as you can see in all those videos, I'm always like such an awkward nerd, tall nerd. I mean, everyone commented on that being that a little taller than Klaus, but no, it's been amazing. They've been so great and just awesome people to meet, and it's very inspiring. They're just so talented and legends, and they're also so nice, really nice people. They've really taken care of us so well on this tour, like them and their crew, like everyone is amazing. So I'm hoping that we get to do more things with Scorpions.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is that? That is awesome. I think the Scorpions might have been one of the first like major bands I got a picture with, like way back in the day. You weren't even thought of then when I met those guys for the first time. But you say you're taller than Klaus, but who isn't taller than Klaus? I think I'm 5'6". I'm taller than he is, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm 5'8", but yeah.
Yeah. So how does, first of all, tell us a little bit about the history of your band, because you're relatively new over here in the States, right? Have you been over here before?
Well, we did Kiss Cruise 2018.
Okay.
And then we did the Kiss, we got invited back by Kiss Army to do a show at their pre-party for the cruise in Miami. So it's been kind of like, nothing like that we put out too much because it's been, like kind of under the radar, but part of the Kiss family.
Yeah.
This is our first North American tour. And it's really exciting to get to do it at this level. Like, I feel like we jumped some steps and we're fully aware and we're just really trying to be grateful. I mean, we are grateful and so happy about getting this opportunity and fully aware of how amazing it is and really taking advantage of every second of it and trying to deliver the best we can every show so people understand that we're just serving all this opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt. So now were you guys on the tour when Whitesnake played? They played a few shows on this tour, didn't they? Or no,
they didn't do anything. When they announced the tour, sorry, I just found something there. stand up. When they announced the tour, we were all on the bill. It was, you know, Whitesnake, Scorpions, and then we were the, I don't know what they call it, but like first supporting band or whatever. But we've been on this tour since they, you know, announced it. And then we actually never really, we haven't gotten any, like, you know, inside information about what happened with, I guess, David Coverdale's health.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that he's doing better, whatever it might have been. But yeah, they were supposed to be part of it, and then they canceled for obvious reasons. And yeah, they've been, I don't know how to say this in without sounding weird, but it's been kind of like a blessing in disguise for us as a small band, because we got a little longer set, and the Scorpions crew has really made an effort to take care of us and, you know, help us as much as they can with everything they can, like even having a camera guy film our show and having a, like a proper lighting show and all these things that I don't necessarily know is the norm for an opening band to get. So we're very happy and just like really, yeah, so grateful that they are so nice and, you know, really care about us having a good time and a good experience.
Yeah.
It means so much.
Yeah, no question. And yeah, I was thinking about that earlier, you know, when Whitesnake gets off this tour. Yeah, that's cool. The Scorpions said, oh, they give you a little bit more time, huh? And then it's like, you know, it just kind of, does it put any more pressure on you guys or no?
I haven't felt any necessarily, no, I haven't felt any pressure. I don't think any of us, I mean, yes, it is our first arena tour, but we're pretty, if there's something that we're really good at and really used to doing is performing. I mean, we toured extensively throughout Europe, you know, small club shows, big festivals and everything. So I know that we were ready for this opportunity. We were just, give us opportunity and we're going to make sure to make the best out of it. And that's kind of how it felt like. So no, I haven't felt any more pressure, just excited to get 10 more minutes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's cool. 10 more minutes on stage. So what has your experience been so far, since you said this is kind of like your first proper North American tour, of the American crowds, the, you know, American music, just the whole American experience? And Canadian, by the way, and Canadian. You guys have played some Canadian shows too, so.
Yeah, we did, exactly. I mean, I've gone to school here. I went to school to Adami in Los Angeles. So I've actually lived in Los Angeles for 4.5 years. It was a while back. So I kind of had an experience already. Like, I already love the country, the people, everything, the culture, you know. And I think all of the girls, we all feel the same way. We've been really welcomed. I'd say, like, we're getting like a standing ovation on almost every show, which is crazy and mind blowing. So people here are clearly enjoying what we're doing. And yeah, and we love them so much more for it. But yeah, no, we love America, and Canada was awesome as well. And yeah, we're just having a really, really good time. I really love how people are very warm and welcoming. That's something that is not as common in like Sweden and in the north. You know, you need to know people for them to be like that. And here it's very like, everyone just invites you in, and like, yeah, we just make friends along the way, which is really fun. And I really appreciate that about people here. And I must say that in Texas, it seems like everyone seems to like rock everywhere we go. But in Texas, it seems like even more intense, like, they really live for rock. Like, at least the audiences here have been crazy, and that's really fun.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So growing up in Sweden and stuff, where do you get your musical influences from? Because what you guys seem to do, in my mind, is like kind of a throwback. Do you get that stuff from your parents, from older relatives, or what?
I would say it's a combo. We all have really different musical backgrounds, but I think most of us have been, like, we've grown up with parents that listen to a lot of different music. My parents always listened to a lot of, they were like the Beatles camp. So we had Beatles music at home and a lot of Latin music. And yeah, my family's from Uruguay. So it's a very like mixed pot of music there. But I'd say that I actually, like, rock was something I found on my own, and the person that I am, I always try to look into history and, like with whatever genre that I'm into at the moment, or because I listen to all kinds of music. As a younger person, I always try to see, like, for example, in, like, hip-hop and stuff, where they're, like, what sample did they use here, for example? And then you find some soul, and you find some Motown song, you know, all these things. So that's kind of how it's been for me. And yeah, so I found rock on my own. And it's just funny, when I started writing my own music, it was all blues rock. So I don't know, it kind of just came from my heart. I think from the mixture of music in my background, rock was just where my heart was at. And then I started trying to sing more like 80s songs, 80s rock songs. Like, and specifically Sebastian Bach, you know, Skid Row.
Yeah.
I felt I could really relate to him as a singer. And I started trying to sing Skid Row songs and really found my own voice doing that. So, yeah, it's a long story, but yeah, a lot of different styles have been impacting.
So for somebody that might be listening to this or watching this for the first time, that's never, you know, heard you guys before, like, how do you describe a Thunder Mother?
I'd say we have a very, our DNA is AC/DC. Mm. Absolutely. That's when Filippa started the band. That's what she wanted to do, like, an AC/DC type of band. So that's something that we're always carrying with us. But, I didn't really tell you the story of the band, but me and the drummer, Emily, joined the band in 2017. And once we had joined the band, we then all started writing music together. And we all have different backgrounds. Like, Emily is a huge Iron Maiden fan, and I'm a big Prince fan. And, like, we all have really different, you know, favorites. Mm-hmm. And that is now coming out in the songwriting. So it's a lot of, like, different, like, I've always wanted to have, like, those kind of rappy, like, you know, Guns N' Roses, like, vibe songs, whatever.
Yeah.
And we have a few of those now. But yeah, it's a mix. And yeah, my brain is, I'm super scatterbrained. I don't remember the question. I just went off.
No, I was just curious, like how you would describe your band as someone that's never heard it. That's all. It's like, you know, I kind of feel like what you're saying. It's like kind of a throwback to just straight ahead rock bands of particularly the 80s. That's why I feel when I hear it.
Yeah, the thing is, I think the 80s thing is coming more and more, but initially we were more like, 70s. I mean, we all, like, you know, the Scorpions crew, they say that they think that we are a mix between Kiss and ABBA, which I've never heard before. And I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if it's our melodies and our, you know, the harmonies that we do or whatever it is. But I think that's a huge compliment. But yeah, some people, to keep it simple, usually, and you won't hear it as much on the Scorpions, because we try to do like a more mid-tempo vibe set, because we don't want to go full on crazy. You know, I need to match the opening band. But I'd say it's a combo between AC/DC and Motorhead initially, and then that has evolved, and it's more like you can hear a little Van Halen, little Maiden, a little Zeppelin. Like, it's such a mix of everything.
Now, all the bands you're mentioning are all male bands. What kind of female bands? I mean, the exception of ABBA, I suppose. But, I mean, are you into, like, you know, Pretty Reckless, Hailstorm, that kind of thing?
To be completely honest, I had never heard of Hailstorm before I joined the band, when people started comparing my voice to Lucy Hale's voice, which is a super nice compliment. But I hadn't really heard of them. Pretty Reckless, I think they're really awesome. But yeah, no, I guess inspiration wise, unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of female artists that inspired this particular project. I mean, yes, Janis Joplin is always in the back of my mind, but in the way I perform and, like, try to always bring, you know, real feelings to whatever I'm singing and all these things. But yeah, maybe the girls, I think both the guitar player, I mean, Filippa and Mona, our guitar players, our bass player, I'm guessing they've probably been inspired by Joan Jett as well. I mean, she is a legend, but I'm hoping that it's going to be that we're part of, like, you know, changing that for future, you know, girls and stuff like that. Because I personally didn't find that many musicians that I could relate to, you know, vocally, females. That's why I said, like, Sebastian Bach was one of the first singers that I was just like, okay, I feel like I sing more like he does. And I couldn't really find myself in other females, you know, rock singer, female rock singers vibes at that time. That has changed with time, but unfortunately a lot of male inspiration, but I think
that's all right.
It up and making it own, and yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, you know. I mean, you know, to each their own. I wasn't sure if, you know, if you had grown up on a lot of female singers like Stevie Nicks or, you know, that kind of thing, or Heart or whatever the case is. But
I love Stevie Nicks, and when I was a kid, I loved the Spice Girls. So, yeah, there was a girl power right there, but it's not rock.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, you know what? If you're singing, I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody says that they hear a lot of pop music because their kids are around. It was Michael Starr, actually, from Steel Panther. And, you know, so he says he hears a lot of pop music in his day-to-day life. But, of course, you know, he's a metal guy. So it's some of that stuff kind of influences him a little bit in his singing as well.
Yeah. I think it's good as a musician to be open. A good song is a good song, regardless of the genre. So for me, I'm very, like, mood-based, you know. I listen to a lot of different things.
So you said that you've been here in America before for several years and stuff. Have the other girls, and if not, what do they think about, you know, the general aspect of touring through this country?
I mean, long distances, that's crazy. We're really happy that we're on a nightliner so we can sleep and, you know, can travel throughout the night and that, you know, enjoy the days. That's really major. But the girls are loving it. We're all really enjoying it. We get to see so many different places, walk around, just explore. And on top of that, obviously play arenas, which is huge. So it's all good on our side. We're just very happy.
Now, do you guys watch the Scorpion show nightly, or have you seen it and you kind of move along?
No, I've seen it. It depends, because now we've been starting to do our own signing sessions straight after the show. So the first weeks I did see them a lot, and I love their show, and it's so freaking good and inspiring. Yeah, they're really impressive guys. Like, you can't believe that they're in their 70s and jumping around and having that amount of energy. It's like, I wish I can be like that when I'm in my 70s. So I've seen a lot of it, and I'm hoping to catch even more. And, you know, but we have been doing our own signing sessions. So while they're playing, we have to, like, shower, get ready, and then go. So it's, like, still work kind for us. You know, we still have to get stuff done to maximize this whole thing.
Right. Yeah. You guys got to take advantage of this. This is a great opportunity for you guys. I kind of know the story a little bit, and I was like, wow, this is cool. So what kind of upbringing did you have? I have a daughter who's 21, and I always tell her, I go, do what you want to do. Do your thing. You know, don't let no one stop you. Did your parents always give you some advice like that and always try to push you forward?
Absolutely. Let's see here. Well, my mom was always kind of like, you guys have to get an education. That was really important. But she didn't really care, you know, as long as it was like, I got educated, like I did. I got the associate's degree in vocal performance, and then I did music business and all these things. She's just happy that I have some degrees and, like, I'm good, you know. Yeah, she's always just pushed me, but I've always been very stubborn and known what I want. And that's something that she tells me now, that she's very proud of the fact that I've, like, known that I wanted to do this since I was very, very young. And I've just always gone ahead and, I guess, been very stubborn with my dreams. And then, like, I guess in high school was when I personally just, like, kind of had to be honest with myself and be like, you need to really try to do the music thing, because that's where my heart has always been. And I know it's tough, but I think it's really important to not, like, live with regret. And at that age, I mean, it's better to really just try And, you know, you might fail, but at least you tried and you don't have to look back on your life and be like, oh, damn, I didn't do that. I should have done that. Like, that's been such a big fear for me. So, yeah, I guess it's like my own drive, but also having people around me that supports the dream and, you know.
Yeah.
But not, I'm the only one doing music in my family. So I'm like, I'm the black sheep. And I think they've been questioning my choices quite a lot. But it's starting to pay off. So it's good.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, hey, you're touring with the Scorpions. There's worse places to be in the world.
Yeah, definitely.
No, that's so cool. Well, just a couple things here for you left. First of all, what do you guys have coming up in the future after this tour? Are you guys going to be finished for the year, or what do you guys have going on as far as the band? Any new music, anything coming down the pike?
Well, we just released a new album on the 19th of August. So
oh,
we're
is that okay? I thought it was earlier in the year. Okay, gotcha.
No, but we want to do, a video for the ballad Borrowed Time, mm-hmm. which I think we're aiming to release the end of October. But as far as shows goes, we have, like, you know, one-offs here and there. And then we're going to take a break, and then we have a more extensive European tour, I think, from the end of February to May. So, yeah, we're going to just tour... Can I swear?
Yeah. Yeah, you're fine.
We're going to tour the shit out of the album, which we were not allowed to do with Heatwave. So now we're going to really play as much as we can live with this new album.
Yeah, the last record came out in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, the pandemic, you know, hits, and it's like it just sits there, right? And so the new record's out now this summer. And so you guys at least get to go out and play some of that stuff. Are you talking about a European tour? Are you guys going to be going out by yourself, or are you hopping on a tour like you're doing now?
We'll see.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I mean, we have no, but we definitely have our own thing, our own headlining tour in Europe.
Okay.
That's a for sure thing. Then let's see. Whatever happens.
All right. Final thing here for you. Who's the greatest Swedish hockey player to ever play in the NHL?
Hockey? I don't watch hockey. My knowledge of hockey is like Mighty Ducks.
It's Nick Lindstrom. Nick Lindstrom. That's it. End of discussion. Nick Lindstrom.
I thought it was what's his name that does the commercial for Head and Shoulders in Sweden?
Oh,
like really attractive one. I think he's like a
Lundqvist.
He's like a goalie, I think. Is that what's it called in hockey?
Yeah, Lundqvist from the New York Rangers. Yeah, Henrik Lundqvist.
Henrik Lundqvist. Is that his name?
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know that much about hockey. I really like those movies, though. They're very, like, they're the big part of my childhood.
The which one?
The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, Mighty Ducks. Okay, I got you. Yeah. Well, here in Detroit, of course, we had Johan Franzen and Nick Lindstrom and Thomas Holmstrom and Henrik Zetterberg. We've had all sorts of Swedes here, so...
So many Swedish hockey players. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, listen, good luck to you guys. And I'm sorry I missed you a couple weeks ago. I had tickets to the show. And then I don't know if you knew when you played here in Detroit, but there was a big storm that blew through the day beforehand. And it was day number two of not having any power in my house. So I opted to go home and try to get that rolling. I missed the show, but I'm sure in Detroit Rock City it was just fine.
Yeah, I mean... That was the one in Pine Knob, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that show, when we didn't notice anything. I'm so shocked that you guys went through that.
Yeah.
I hope it's better now.
Oh, yeah, everything's fine. But I just had to kind of get, you know, I had to take care of my family and my house. And I, you know, the Scorpions people were so nice. They got me hooked up with tickets. And then I emailed them. I'm like, I can't go. I got to get this, taken care of. But I wish I would have seen you guys because there is a big buzz about you guys playing, and a lot of people have been impressed.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that, but I feel very proud of how hard we're working, and you know, the response from the audience are pretty clear, and it's really fun. I feel like people really enjoy the kind of rock that we do, and there's not many bands doing it anymore, so... Let's hope we're part of some sort of rock and roll revival with just like fun, good time, rock and roll.
That's right. Hey, it's all about having a good time. So, well, Miss Mancini, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's a lot of talking rock. So thank you guys for checking it out. Hey, just a heads up on a podcast I'm actually working on, which is going to debut next Monday. Haunted Michigan, talking with all sorts of paranormal experts from all around the Mitten State about the hauntings and the haunting that goes on in Michigan. So if you get a chance and you're into that kind of thing, that debuts on Monday. So looking forward to getting that out. I have about, I think, 8 interviews this week just on that alone. So it's going to be a hectic one, but yeah, we'll get through it. Thank you guys so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.